It's time now for Spears on Sports with John Spears, presented by M&M Carnage. And now, here's Johnny.
Welcome to a Tuesday. John Spears in studio. M&M Carnage presents Spears on Sports. Tuesday, November 23rd, 2 days till Thanksgiving. Got the turkey in the oven. No, I don't. I'm having buffalo chicken pasta on Thanksgiving Day. So there you go. It's my birthday. I can have whatever I want. Buffalo chicken pasta, maybe a little white cake, chocolate icing, some ice cream, no dressing, no turkey. You can keep all that. And again, it's my birthday. I can do whatever I want. M&M Carnage Hotline is open, 502-384-1450 to join in on the conversation. 384-1450. The Thornton's text line open as well, 502-414-1450. Don't forget, Thornton's is the perfect stop for all the best pick-me-up items you need to get your day started, like fresh coffee, delicious donuts. Visit our friends at Thornton's. Hall of Fame ballot is out. I don't usually start the show in mid-November with baseball, so I'm not going to start it with baseball today, but we'll get to that. The Hall of Fame ballot is out. It's the last year eligible for some steroid guys. Will they get in? How close have they been in the past? All of that on the way. College football playoff rankings show again tonight on ESPN. How far will Oregon drop out? They're going to drop out. They've got two losses now. Is Cincinnati the number four team, or does the playoff committee figure out a way to keep the Bearcats at number five tonight? Do they say, you know what? Notre Dame, I know they lost at home to Cincinnati, but that was week three or four. And, you know, maybe Notre Dame's better than Cincinnati. Our eye test means something now. Head-to-head doesn't mean anything anymore because we don't want Cincinnati in the playoff. So maybe Notre Dame sneaks in. We could put Michigan in. We could move Michigan ahead of Cincinnati. They club Michigan State. Had a big win last week over Maryland, ran away with it. They got Ohio State coming up. If they beat Ohio State, then we're going to have to take the Buckeyes out unless we already have Michigan in the top four and it's a close game. And maybe we get Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State in the final four. Maybe Notre Dame sneaks in there because of the air quotes here, eye test. Doesn't matter that they lost to Cincinnati. Everybody deserves one clunker. That was the Irish clunker. We'll see what happens tonight on ESPN as the reality show that is the college football playoff continues. I said this before, we're going to 12 teams. We're going to 12 teams in the college football playoff. And just like the NCAA basketball March Madness, if you're the 69th team, then you can't gripe, right? You had a chance to get in the top 68. You didn't take advantage of it. 69th, you can't gripe. In the college football playoff, if there are 12 teams in and you're 13th, you can't complain. You can't. If you're 13th, you probably have two losses, maybe even three. You have no complaints. You will complain. There will be a team that complains when it goes to 12. How could we possibly be left out? But that's going to fall on deaf ears. Nothing falls on deaf ears when you're number five and you're undefeated, like Cincinnati. There's always going to be a controversy if there's only four teams. Now, if they want to go to 12, they have to vote on it, I think, by the end of December this year to get it in next year. If not, if they don't vote or they don't get the votes to expand it to 12 next year, then they can't do it until 2025. So we would have three more years of the current system if this happens to not get the votes. I think it will. I think it's going to go to 12 next year, next season. And it'll be a lot more fun. You'll have a lot more bowl games involved in this. You'll have teams. And I'm telling you, when expansion comes and the SEC and the ACC have to play 9 conference games, which the Big Ten already does, it's going to be great. Because you're going to have teams that are 8-4, and they are going to say, look, we deserve a spot in the playoff. Look at these 4 close games we lost, all to playoff teams. That's what's going to end up happening. And it's going to be glorious. I can't wait. I cannot wait. But we're going to have 12. It's going to be voted on by mid-December. And anybody that doesn't vote for the college football playoff to change to 12 teams should be, you know, flogged in public. All right, Kentucky basketball last night, they beat a bad Albany team 86-61. I was there. It wasn't impressive. In fact, it was boring. It was a boring game. It was one of those games where I kept looking at the clock. How much time is left in this turd? Because that's what it was. It was a terrible game. No Obi Toppin. No Jacob Toppin. No Lance Ware. They are still nursing injuries. Davion Mintz did not play because of an illness last night. Apparently not COVID-related. But he was under the weather. So Kentucky was really only 8 deep last night. They were only 8 deep. And they didn't play great in the first half. They had a 9-point lead at halftime. And keep in mind, this was another one of those bad teams that Kentucky plays. Just not a good team. 86-61, as I mentioned, was the final. Ty Washington had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Oscar Tshiebwe got in foul trouble. This is what's going to happen. He had 2 fouls in the first couple of minutes. He had 3 fouls at halftime. He had 4 fouls midway through the second half. He still had 12 points, 14 rebounds. He had 7 rebounds when he got his second foul, and we were 4 minutes into the game. 4 minutes into the game, he had 7 rebounds. So he's a rebounding machine. In fact, Kentucky, the last 2 games, has out-rebounded their opponent by at least 24 rebounds each game. Last night it was 48-24 on the glass in favor of Kentucky. And it felt like more. I don't know how this game was a 25-point game. Kentucky shot 54%. Albany shot 34%. Kentucky hit 5 of 15 threes. Albany hit 7 of 25. Kentucky was 17 of 22 at the line. Albany was 6 of 13. The guy that didn't take advantage last night was Dante Allen. Dante Allen was the 8th man last night. Because of no Toppin, because of no Ware, because of no Mintz, he got playing time. He missed a bunch of threes. I don't think he scored last night. I'll have to check the box on ESPN.com because CBSSports.com is not getting the job done today. I'm going to have to complain to them. I'm going to have to send a tersely worded email. How about that? As I try to get this box score up. All right, Dante Allen was 0 for 5, all from 3-point range last night. 2 rebounds, 1 assist. It was not good. And he had a chance. He had minutes. He played 13 minutes last night. He had a chance to make a statement. He did have a steal. He did have 1 turnover. And he didn't. His shots were not close. And I'm not at a great vantage point at these games, but when he shot them, I looked at the guy next to me. Nope, that's not going in. You could tell. One was an air ball. Sevier Wheeler was great, 15 points, 7 assists. He gets after it on defense. Keon Brooks had 17-8. Keon Brooks proved last night that when he's needed inside, he can play inside. Because Tshiebwe was in foul trouble. Damian Collins was in foul trouble. Toppin's out of the game. Ware's out of the game. They have no other big guys to put in here. Keon Brooks went inside and did the job. He got 8 rebounds. Kellen Grady. They got to get him more shots. He was 3 of 5 from 3-point land. The rest of the team was 2 of 10. He had 14 points last night, but they don't get him enough shots. And to be honest, he doesn't work to get open to get enough shots. He's got to work harder to get more shots. But an easy win. You're 4-1 now. You got North Florida coming in Friday to Rupp Arena. North Florida is 1-5. Cal loves this kind of schedule. You play Duke in the opener, then you play a whole bunch of nobodies until you finally get to the Louisville game on December, I think, 22nd. Play a whole bunch of nobodies. The Kentucky schedule. Central Michigan will be next. That is Monday. Central Michigan's 1-3, and they are a 7.5-point underdog tonight against the Bellarmine Knights. How about that? You got Southern on December 7th. Now, you do have to go to Notre Dame. I like that game, although Notre Dame is down this year. I like that game for Kentucky. That is Saturday, the 11th of December on ESPN, late afternoon game. Then you've got Ohio State and the CBS Sports Classic neutral site. The Buckeyes have struggled, but they're 4-1. They win a lot, been winning a lot of close games. That's the following Saturday. And then, of course, Louisville on Wednesday, December 22nd, 6 o'clock on ESPN before you get into SEC play. But this is Cal's formula. You got young guys. Now, they're not as young as they usually are. You got a lot of, you know, you got grad transfers in Shibwe and Wheeler and Grady. Brooks is not young. But this is Cal's formula. You play a good team. You play a bunch of bad teams. You work on things, get better. And then you play a couple of good teams in December. You play Kansas or another Big 12 team in the middle of January. And you play the SEC schedule. And you get better and better and better. Didn't work out last year. Played a lot of those tough opponents and had a lot fewer games, and it just didn't go well. Terrence Clark, the late, great Terrence Clark, was hurt most of the year. Brandon Boston was not good most of the year, and a team that just struggled mightily last year. But the formula is where it is, and it's the formula that John Calipari likes. Play a whole lot of nobodies, beat up on them, escape in a couple of these games. Kentucky was a 27-point favorite last night. And quite frankly, I have no idea how Albany covered in that game last night. When you looked at the numbers, 48 rebounds to 24, 54% to 34% shooting, those two stats alone scream 40-point victory. They do. They scream 40-point victory. Turnover stats. Let me look at the turnovers because that might be where the discrepancy comes in. Yeah, 17 turnovers for Kentucky again last night. And it is going to bite them in the tail end when they play a good team because they do not value the basketball. Wheeler's really good, but he's going 100 miles an hour. The other guys, they just don't value the basketball. There were a couple of steals by Albany last night from behind, and you really thought, how did that Kentucky player not know that the Albany player was right behind him? It was just pickpocket. A lack of awareness. I have no idea how good this team's going to be. No idea. And we won't know. We won't know until at least early to mid-January how good they can be. Until they start playing some stiffer competition. And I don't know how good Notre Dame is, and I don't know how good Louisville is, and really don't know how good Ohio State is. So you might have to wait until they get into SEC play with Alabama and Florida and teams like that, Arkansas, before you can know exactly how good this Kentucky team might be. Bellarmine, by the way, played well last night. Now, the Knights are 0-5, but they took number 2 UCLA to – well, they made it uncomfortable for the Bruins. 75-62 was the final. UCLA's 5-0 now. Dylan Penn can play for anybody. I saw him last year, and I said, no offense, Bellarmine, but why is this dude playing for Bellarmine? 19 points last night against UCLA, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. He shouldn't get 8 rebounds against UCLA, who's a much bigger team. But he does, and he does it against everybody. C.J. Fleming had 12. The bench is where the Knights got beat up. UCLA's bench outscored the Bellarmine bench 40-8. And that was more than enough to keep the Knights at bay. Bellarmine gets Central Michigan today, 7 o'clock. It's a preamble game, okay? This is the Empire Classic. It's a preamble game because game 2 at 10 o'clock is UCLA and Gonzaga. If I'm Bellarmine player or coach or fan or staff member, if I'm Doug Orme and Mark Bug, the radio voices of Bellarmine basketball, let's get our game over with. Yeah, you want to win. You're a 7.5-point favorite against Central Michigan tonight. You want to get your first win of the season. But I want to hang around and watch Gonzaga and UCLA, number 1 and number 2 in the country. That's in Las Vegas. That doesn't hurt either. Bellarmine has traveled to West Lafayette, Murray, Kentucky. They played St. Mary's in California, wherever they're from. They've gone to Spokane and played Gonzaga. And now they're in Vegas for back-to-back night games, Monday night, Tuesday night games. That's a fun schedule. You'd like to play teams that weren't all ranked in the top 5 of the country, but it is what it is. Bellarmine and UCLA both shot 45%. The Knights hurt themselves in a category where they're usually pretty good. 3-point shooting. They were 3 of 15 last night. Ouch. They didn't miss a free throw. 13 for 13. Got out-rebounded, which you would expect from a much longer, much taller, much bigger UCLA team, 40-27. And the Knights turned the ball over 17 times, something they usually don't do. But at least they made it uncomfortable for UCLA last night. And by the way, I'll give you an early what to watch tonight. It's simple. 10 o'clock, ESPN, Gonzaga and UCLA. Number 1 and number 2, both teams 5-0. They met, if you remember, in the national semifinals last year, a game where UCLA was close the whole game before Gonzaga pulled away at the end and got to the national championship game where they lost to Baylor. But a rematch of that game. Gonzaga, by the way, 6-point favorite tonight against the Bruins. All right, we'll take a break. College football rivalry week is here. We've got some action tonight. Very excited. Talk a little NBA. LeBron James and the Lakers are in New York tonight. Well, the Lakers are in New York tonight to play the Knicks. LeBron not going to play. We'll tell you why. NFL last night, Monday Night Football. The Manning cast never disappoints, but the game certainly disappointed. Tampa Bay beats the Giants 30-10. We'll recap that as well. All that and more. Listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. The M&M Cartage hotline open, 502-384-1450 to join in on the conversation, 384-1450. Thornton's text line open as well, 414-1450. Download Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app today for great offers and savings on fuel every day. That's the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app. Download it on your device. And hit me up on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Gonzaga, in the first game last night, beat Central Michigan, second game, 107-54. So if you want to play the transitive property game, you want to compare numbers here, Gonzaga beat Bellarmine by 42. They beat Central Michigan by 53. That's an 11-point difference. And Bellarmine's a 7.5-point favorite tonight over Central Michigan. The Chippewas are 1-3. Other scores that caught my eye last night, Cincinnati. The Bearcats are 5-0 now. They walloped Illinois, who's ranked 14th in the country, 71-51. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Kofi Coburn was back in that game for the Illini. Let me check the box score. He was. He had 16 points and 6 rebounds. Illinois is now 2-2. They lost a game without Colbert in the lineup. He was serving a suspension, a 3-game suspension for accepting benefits that were not NIL related, I guess. An NCAA infraction. He served a 3-game suspension. Well, they lost to Marquette at Marquette 67-66. And you kind of throw it away and go, well, Colbert didn't play, preseason All-American. We kind of understand that. But he played last night. And the Bearcats, they did a number here. 71-51, 37-20 in the second half. Jeremiah Davenport, 16 points to lead the Bearcats. That's an interesting score. Again, I don't know how good the Big Ten's going to be this year. I think Indiana's got a chance to make some noise in the Big Ten. Michigan State is still unranked. Illinois is highly ranked. Ohio State was ranked. They're not anymore. Purdue is, without question, in my opinion, best team in the Big Ten. In my opinion, best team in the country right now. But without question, best team in the Big Ten, right? Michigan's got a couple losses. They got throttled by Arizona the other night in a neutral site game. Ohio State did bounce back and beat Seton Hall last night, 79-76, a last-second three-pointer in that game to win it. So they're 4-1. We'll keep an eye on Ohio State as they'll play Kentucky in that CBS Sports Classic. Houston, big win over Butler, 70-52. Houston is that's a fun game today if you're looking for something to watch today on ESPN. 5 o'clock, Wisconsin and Houston. Whiskey is 3-1 after a win over Texas A&M yesterday, and Houston's 4-0. Houston's 6.5-point favorite in that game. Also, Illinois, they're back at it today in a consolation game against Kansas State. That'll be on ESPN News, 7 o'clock. Illinois, 10-point favorite over Kansas State. And the championship of that tournament is Cincinnati and Arkansas. Arkansas beat Kansas State 72-64 yesterday. The Hogs are 4-0, ranked 13th in the country, and a 5.5-point favorite over Cincinnati. So, holiday, feast week, whatever they call it on ESPN, we got... got a lot of good basketball going on right now. Speaking of basketball, the New York Knickerbockers hosting the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. And no LeBron James here. TNT 7:30 game. I'm going to tune in for at least a little bit here because you're going to get to see the altercation between LeBron and Isaiah Stewart of the Pistons in Detroit the other night. LeBron's been suspended 1 game. Stewart's been suspended 2 games. Because, and rightfully so, I think, because he sort of incited a bunch of, had a potential to be a really bad situation here. Now, they're at the free throw line. Stewart's blocking out LeBron. LeBron feels like Stewart's holding on to his arm. So he just sort of rips his arm out of there, and as he does, with a clenched fist, he makes contact up by the eye of Isaiah Stewart, and it is bloody. It's bloody. He drew blood, and it was ugly. And LeBron should be suspended here because it was a closed fist, intentional or not intentional. This is what happened. He punched a guy in the face, right? He punched him in the face. I mean, that's the easy way to look at it. Now, LeBron James is not a guy that has been known as a troublemaker, as a fight inducer, as a guy that wants to mix it up with an opponent. He's never been suspended in his, I don't know, 42-year career in the NBA, however long he's been there. Just seems that long. So this is out of character, you would say, for LeBron James. He's not Rasheed Wallace. Right? He's not Dennis Rodman. He's not Meta World Peace. He's not any of those guys. He's not Bill Lane Beer. He's not a guy that, you know, seems to instigate altercations. But he did swing a closed fist toward a player's head. He made contact, drew blood. You got to suspend him. But don't you suspend him for his next home game, right? Because there are people in New York. What if you're a dad in New York and your son is 8 and he's a huge LeBron fan and you got tickets, you paid top dollar for this game tonight. The only trip by the Lakers into New York, into Madison Square Garden this year, and you got tickets for you and your son to go to the Lakers and the Knicks. And now LeBron's not going to play. Who's punished here? Who's punished? I would argue it's the Knicks fans that bought tickets to see LeBron James play, whether they're Knicks fans or they're Laker fans. New York people who bought tickets to see LeBron play. The Lakers' next home game is Friday against Sacramento. That's when I would have suspended LeBron James. Because Laker fan has 41 regular season chances to see LeBron James in action. You want to pay the ticket price, you got 41 chances. Knicks fan in New York has one chance. One chance. And now he has zero chances. And look, I know the LeBron hater is going to say, oh, well, why are you doing LeBron a favor here? You're not doing LeBron a favor. He's going to miss the game regardless. Who cares if it's the Knicks or the Kings? The Knicks, by the way, are 6-point favorites tonight. The Knicks are 1-7 in November, and they're favored in this game over the Lakers because LeBron James is not going to play. So you're not doing the LeBron any favors picking which game to sit him. I mean, why don't we sit him in Milwaukee? They're not going to beat Milwaukee anyway. Or why don't we sit him against Detroit? They're going to beat Detroit without him anyway. Just pick the next home game. That way you don't disappoint and you don't let down the fans of the NBA, New York fans that want to see LeBron in their arena the one time he comes this season. But there you go. Suspended for what? First suspension of his career. And look, he needed to be suspended. He swung a fist. He hit a player in the face. It caused a lot of blood. Now, Isaiah Stewart got 2 games. I think he should have got more. Because he ran around that arena like a madman. And this could have gotten ugly. And of all places for this to happen, Detroit is not where you want to see it happen. Everybody remembers, and you may have seen the documentary on Netflix, Malice in the Palace. I told you to watch it on this show. It's great. Jermaine O'Neal, of course, Ron Artest was involved, went into the stands after a fan who threw a cup on him, cup of beer or cup of soda, whatever he threw on him. And that was a black eye for the entire NBA. It was a black eye for the sports world. Todd Father sends me a text. Good thing about LeBron's suspension, only one game, so he'll be there tomorrow night when we are there. Yeah, Todd Father's taking his son to the Pacers-Knicks game tomorrow night in Indianapolis. So if you want to see LeBron and his only trip to Indy, tomorrow's the night to go. He's not suspended. Unless there's an appeal, I don't want to get the Todd Father upset here, but what if there's an appeal and they decide, hey, let's give LeBron 2 games and 2 road games at that. Superstars should be treated differently because they're superstars. They are the players the fans come to see. If this was Steph Curry, I'd be saying the same thing. Sit him in home game. People pay top dollar. They pay more than top dollar to go see these guys play. They do. It is not a cheap ticket to go to an NBA game. And it's an even more expensive ticket when the Lakers are coming to town and LeBron James, or when the Nets are coming to town and Kevin Durant. You want to see Kevin Durant, or the Warriors and Steph Curry. Everybody wants to see Steph Curry play. You are not punishing the players, you're punishing the fans here. If I had a tick to a Pacers-Warriors game and Steph Curry either sat out for load management, which he doesn't do, or got suspended for the league, I would be irate. I would want my money back. I'm not going to see Damian Lee. No offense to Damian Lee. I'm not going to see James Wiseman or Andre Iguodala. I'm going to see Steph Curry. Just like the fans in New York tonight, they're not going to see Tyler Horton Tucker or whatever his name is. Right? They're not going to see, probably not going to see Anthony Davis. Kenny Payne might be there to see Anthony Davis. The fans are not going to see Anthony Davis. They're not going to see Russell Westbrook. They're going to see LeBron James. Superstars should get superstar treatment in this particular situation. And LeBron James should be playing in New York tonight, and he should be sitting out against Sacramento at home on Friday night. It's that simple. Should he have been suspended? Yes, absolutely. He hit another player in the face with a fist. Accidental as it may have been or may not have been. I don't know. I'm not in the mind of LeBron James. His arm was being held. He's trying to get out of it, and he swings his fist. All right. But this is not something that he has a track record of doing in his 19 years in the league. It's not something he has a track record of doing. You have to take all of that, all of it, into consideration. And he should play in New York tonight. The Lakers, by the way, after he got ejected along with Stewart the other day, did win the game against Detroit. They did win the game. So I guess there's that. All right. NFL last night, quickly. Tampa Bay 30, the Giants 10. I hope you watched the Manning cast because I don't think the game was very entertaining. Tom Brady didn't look to be in a very good mood in the highlights I watched. He was 30 of 46, 307, two touchdowns, an interception. Mike Evans kind of limped off late in the game. I did see that. I got home in time to see that. Daniel Jones, I don't know when the Daniel Jones era ends in New York. He was 23 of 38, 167, a touchdown, two bad interceptions. When you throw an interception to a defensive lineman who doesn't have to jump up and tip it to himself, he's 3 or 4 yards downfield, and you throw it right into his gut where he almost has to catch it. That's not good. The Giants are 3-7 now. They're terrible. I know I picked them yesterday to cover that 11-point spread. That was not well done by me. But the Giants are terrible. And Daniel Jones has not gotten any better. He is a good backup quarterback in the NFL. The problem is he's starting for the New York Giants, a proud organization. Saquon Barkley, first game back, did very little. You cannot give him another contract. You can't do it. And you're not going to pay Daniel Jones either. So I don't know what the Giants do. I guess they start looking at the draft for another quarterback. I guess that's the answer. Thanksgiving Day's games coming up on Thursday. Chicago at Detroit. Yikes. That's the early game. Las Vegas and Dallas. Okay. I get a little bit excited about that. Derek Carr against Dak Prescott. Okay. I'm all right. The Tim Boyle versus Andy Dalton game, in Chicago Detroit does not excite me. And Thursday night, Buffalo New Orleans. That's a good game because it actually means something. Both of these teams are starving for a win here. New Orleans trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. Buffalo just trying to get back on track. Remember when Buffalo was the toast of the AFC? They're not even leading their division anymore. They're a half game behind New England. And New Orleans, they lose this game. All of a sudden, you're talking about What's New Orleans have to do to be better next year? It's not good when you're starting to talk about next year. And if New Orleans loses this game at home Thursday night to Buffalo, you're starting to talk about next year. By the way, all six teams playing Thursday coming off losses this past weekend. Bears, Lions, Raiders, Cowboys, Bills, Saints all lost this past weekend. I don't know if that's ever happened for a Thanksgiving Day tripleheader. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Hall of Fame ballot in baseball is out. We'll tell you what to watch and look ahead to some college football rivalry games coming up this weekend as well. You're listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. Last chance on the Thornton's text line. Get your text into the show, 502-414-1450. What to watch tonight? I gave you the college football playoff rankings. I don't know why you need to watch them. I'll tell you how it's going to end up here tonight. Georgia will be number one. Ohio State, because the way they beat Michigan State, will be number two. Alabama, because of the way they hung on against Arkansas, will drop to number three. So you'll have Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama. Then it's got to be Cincinnati. I don't know how it can't be. Now, I heard this earlier when the first college football playoff rankings came out, and Cincinnati, I think, was sixth at the time. Somebody said, and I think this is true, if you put Cincinnati in the top four, then it's very difficult to take them out of the top four if they don't lose. They've got East Carolina left on the road. They should win that game. They're a bit two touchdown favorite. They've got Houston in the AAC title game. If they win both of those games and you've got them number four in the standings, it's difficult to pull them out. So the committee doesn't want to put them in at number four. I think they'll be in at number four today. But it would not shock me if they didn't put Michigan jumping Cincinnati. Even though Cincinnati had a convincing win over SMU this week, Michigan had an easy route over Maryland. It wouldn't shock me if the committee put Michigan in at number four. And then Cincinnati, and then Notre Dame. Cincinnati should be number four right now. And maybe they should be number three. But they should at least be number four. We'll see if what the committee thinks tonight. So that's one thing to watch tonight. That's on ESPN. I'm going to watch some NBA tonight. I know there's Maction going on. Mid-American Conference football. I love Tuesday night Maction. Especially gambling on Tuesday night Maction. I'm going to go NBA tonight. You got Lakers, Knicks, no LeBron because of the suspension. By the way, I misspoke earlier when I said the Knicks were 1-7 in November. They're actually 4-7 in November. They were 5-1 in October. That adds up to 9-8. The Lakers are 9-9. They still don't play any defense. But no LeBron tonight. Lakers, Knicks. Second game of the TNT doubleheader, Denver and Portland. Portland 6-point favorite there. That's just a whole lot of up and down offense, NBA. Couple of nice games tonight to watch on the slate. All right, texter, long text here from the texter, says, Purdue's really, really good. I was at the Basketball Hall of Fame tip-off classic this weekend in Connecticut. I saw Purdue's wins over UNC and Villanova. Tennessee also played in the tournament. One thing that stuck out to me is how much more athletic all the teams looked compared to Louisville. Additionally, the energy from the team's benches were more than anything we've seen so far from the Cardinals. I'm glad U of L won, but it feels like they've got a lot of work to do to get to the point of these other top teams. Well, I've said this, and a buddy of mine hit me to this. When you look at Louisville, when you watch them play, how many of those guys are NBA players in the future? And the answer right now is legitimately zero. That's what you see. That's what you got. You've got a college team full of a bunch of college players. You don't have a college team full of a bunch of future pros. Louisville's going to have a chance here this week to get a couple of resume-building wins. They've got Mississippi State in the first game in the Bahamas, and then they'll get either Maryland or Richmond. Those are resume-building wins. If you can beat Mississippi State and then maybe Maryland, that's a nice little trip to the Bahamas. I mean, you're not beating top 10 teams, but you're beating a couple of pretty good teams. You're beating a couple of Power 5 teams. And for whatever that's worth, that will help you in March when, if you're on the bubble or if you're they're deciding whether you have to play one of the play-in games, maybe that pushes you over the top. But again, got to win those games. Can't just show up and play. Got to win them. All right, so rivalry week is here in college football. And I love it. I do. Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. Now, I know Buffalo and New Orleans is on, but Mississippi, Mississippi State, the Egg Bowl. The Rebels are 9-2. The Bulldogs are 7-4. It's in Stark, Vegas. And Mississippi State is now a 1.5-point favorite. I don't get it. I don't understand this spread. I think Mississippi is going to score a lot of points. I think Mississippi State will score some points. Ole Miss, keep in mind, still has a route to the SEC title game, and it would involve an Auburn win over Alabama. But it is still possible. So they're playing for more than just the Egg Bowl here. 7:30 ESPN, Thanksgiving night. You got your turkey, you got your dressing. In my case, you got your buffalo pasta and your cake and ice cream, and you're just a sloth sitting on the couch with the remote control in one hand, trying to figure out which game to watch. Mississippi, Mississippi State, you can do worse than that game. That's a fun game. Now, Friday, you got a full slate. Cincinnati plays that game at East Carolina. Iowa's at Nebraska. A couple of in-state rivalries, Carolina and NC State, Washington State, Washington. All right, I'm not really excited about that. But then Saturday, we get going. Noon game Saturday, Florida State in Gainesville. Florida's 2.5-point favorite there. Georgia Tech, another SEC-ACC matchup. Georgia's a 35-point favorite over the not-so-rambling wreck. And, of course, also at noon, Ohio State, Michigan. Ohio State, 8-point favorite on the road in Ann Arbor. I would love to see Michigan win this game. They never do. They probably won't this week. But, man, the upheaval that would cause in the college football playoff room would be astronomical. Hilarious, glorious, whatever adjective you want to use. I would be all on board to see what the committee would do if Michigan were to beat Ohio State. Then at 3:30, of course, Alabama-Auburn. This one at Auburn. The Crimson Tide, somehow 19.5-point favorites here. I don't get it. They give up too many points to be 19.5-point favorites against decent teams. Now, Nix is not going to be the quarterback at Auburn, and that really hurts. But this Alabama defense, and I've said this from the beginning of the year, when everybody was, before the A&M loss, who's better, Georgia, Alabama? I had people arguing Alabama, and I kept saying, Georgia's defense is so much better than Alabama's. It's not close. It turns out, for one of the few times in my life, I was right. It's not close. And I can't believe Alabama's a 19.5-point favorite. By the way, Tim Tam Tavern Bucket of Picks coming out tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last show of the week. So I got a lot of studying to do tonight. Because you know how I feel about Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You now know how I feel about Auburn and Alabama. I'd love to see Michigan beat Ohio State. I don't see it happening, but I'd love to see it. Old Oak and Bucket on the line, 3:30, Indiana-Purdue. Purdue playing for an 8-4 record and perhaps a New Year's Day bowl game. Indiana 2-9. This is all about pride here. This is all about pride. Purdue at home, 15-point favorite, 3:30 on FS1. You can also hear that game right here on the Big X Saturday, the Hoosiers and the Boilermakers. Virginia Tech, Virginia, 3:45 game, ACC Network. Conference game, Virginia at home, 7-point favorite there. I'm not sure about that spread. Of course, Governor's Cup, battle for the Governor's Cup. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Louisville's still a 2.5-point favorite. The number I keep looking at this game is the over-under of 57. It hasn't changed. I don't know how this game goes under 70. I really don't. I think both teams' offenses are going to shine in this game. Clemson, South Carolina, it's another ACC-SEC game. Clemson's 11.5-point favorite on the road here. I give South Carolina credit and Coach Beamer. They fought hard. They beat Florida. They've been in games. They had a chance to mail it in, and they didn't. Bedlam in Stillwater, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, 7:30 on ABC Saturday night. Oklahoma State, a 4-point favorite at home over the Boomer Sooner. Number 13 Sooners, number 9 Oklahoma State. They're probably going to play again the following week in the Big 12 championship game. So, it's a 2-game series here, it looks like. And if Oklahoma State wins both of those games, all of a sudden they're 12-1. And you go, uh-oh. College football playoff, ? Did we count out the Big 12 too soon? And if Oklahoma wins both games, they're 12-1. Each team's got a bad loss on their resume, though. They've got a bad loss on their resume. And that could hurt them. Notre Dame, by the way, if you were wondering, they're finishing out the season at Stanford. No conference, so no conference game, conference championship game for the Irish. They're just going to beat Stanford by about 40. They're 19-point favorites on the road, by the way. They'll beat Stanford by about 40, and they'll just kind of hang around and say, let's just see who loses. Let's see if we can get in the playoff. So we'll talk more about all of those. I'll give you the Tim Tam Tavern bucket of picks tomorrow. Tony Burke, I think going to join me in studio tomorrow so that we can get Tony's triple play. Hall of Fame ballot came out yesterday, Major League Baseball. Last chance for Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa. Do they get in their final year of eligibility? Clemens and Bonds had 61% of the vote last year. You got to get 75% of the vote. I don't think they're going to get it. I don't think they should get it. They cheated. Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz are the two big names first time on the ballot. A-Rod, he cheated twice. He got popped twice. He cheated before it was a rule and after. And Big Poppy, I don't know. Last show of the week tomorrow. We'll see you then. You've been listening to Spears on Sports presented by Eminem Cartage on the Big X.